Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. It's a special live edition of Between Brothers, the return of Between Brothers, starring myself, my man, Oshel. It's been a little while since we were last live with you guys. You know, he's a busy guy. I'm obviously a busy guy. So we have a lot of things going on, but we wanted to come back tonight and, give you guys a live show where we could talk about some things that you don't really hear discussed, from the on a large scale and on a worldwide perspective in the media. We want to talk about several things tonight. Halloween being this Friday, we want to talk about the origin of it. Obviously, there are a lot of parents and, out there and kids and a lot of talk about it, a lot of media attention being given to that. So we definitely want to address that tonight. But mainly tonight on Between Brothers, we want to talk about astrology. We want to talk about horoscopes and other forms of witchcraft and sorcery and, even yoga. We want to discuss yoga. I know a lot of people in the promotions for tonight's show had, asked. They were like, wow, yoga? Like, really, how is that, demonic or, And so we want to answer some of those questions tonight. And I can't think of a better person to help do that than Minister Oshel High, who's one of the more knowledgeable people that I've ever come across as far as the word, and just a very spiritually grounded brother. So we're going to talk to him momentarily. You guys are welcome to call in with any questions, comments, feedback that you guys may have. 646-200-0366. We want to spend some time talking about mediums and psychic readings, things like tarot cards. And we don't want to just talk about this stuff. We want to actually discuss what the Bible actually says about it, because anytime you have questions, that's where you need to go to, find the answer. So we're going to read some Bible study tonight. We'll get into the Word and see what the Scripture says. So, without further ado, go ahead and introduce my man. And Courtney's got the night off, so she'll be back with us a little bit later on in the week when we bring you guys the return of Beauty Shop Talk on the Dadon Tolbert Show. We've got a really great panel. You guys are used to hearing Barbershop Talk with the fellas, and we'll continue to do that. But we want to bring back Beauty Shop Talk, where we focus on issues that the women are passionate about. This show is not, obviously I'm a man, so I'm going to talk about things from a male perspective, but that, doesn't mean that we, need to necessarily focus on, women all the time. We can definitely talk about, and I encourage conversations about, just between men and women, bridging the gap, bridging those lines of communication. So we want to do that on Wednesday. So definitely, you want to tune in for that. It's gonna be a good one. But Oshel is here with me tonight. Oshel, man, what's going on with you?
Hey, how's everybody doing? I'm doing well. Blessed, cannot complain. Good to be back on the show, and good to be able to talk to everybody.
Definitely, man. Oshel, man, we haven't been live with Between Brothers in a few months now, but I've been rebroadcasting some of the classic shows that we did. Just a quick recap, man. We talked about, complaining and what the Bible says about how God feels about people who don't appreciate their blessings. We talked about generational curses, you and I, mm-hmm. Blessings for obedience, punishment, a blessing for obedience and punishments for disobedience, as well as curses for disobedience, just overall generational curses. Last time we were last live, we talked about people making gods out of material and worldly things, and how people did that in the Old Testament as far as worshiping the golden calf. We've talked about a lot of different things, man. Oshel, man, it's great to have you back. I'll just say that.
Definitely. Once again, it's definitely a blessing to be here. Like you said, it's been a little while. So, in some sense, I feel like it's been a little too long. But just in the sense that, being able to engage and communicate with the people and the people that are listening, just always a blessing, and always an honor to be able to do that.
Real quick, Oshel, if you don't mind, obviously people have become familiar with you over the last several months on the show, but just for people who may not be familiar with you, you want to just let them know who you are and kind of, what you do?
Sure. My name is Oshel. Oshel, last name is High, H-I-G-H. And, you know, been in ministry actually for, probably over 7 years, probably like closer to nine years, somewhere around there, 10 maybe, somewhere around there now. Called the ministry, do assistant pastoring at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Friends of God Fellowship in Ambler, Pennsylvania, so right in Montgomery County area. And I do that. I also do, you know, counseling, which some people may be familiar with as well, that I'm, you know, with TRC Relationship Counseling. So do those things, a husband, a father of two children, and, you know, and just a blessed, you know, just blessed by the Lord. So a blessed man of God in the sense that God is, I'm thankful that God has really blessed me, you know, throughout my life. And so I'd like to share that with other people in my relationship in any way that can help someone else or something, wisdom that God has imparted to me, then I like to share that with other people.
Absolutely, man. You guys, if you guys are in the friends group, you've heard several women just in a short amount of time, you know, posting various testimonies that, you know, from just having just one or two counseling sessions with Oshel. So definitely if you guys are looking for any type of counseling or spiritual guidance, you know, feel free to reach out to him. And we'll give you guys all his contact information a little bit later in the show. I want to jump right into it. Like I said, we have several different major topics that we want to get into. Like I mentioned, yoga, astrology, you know, Halloween. I want to start off with Halloween because we want to spend a little bit more time going more in detail with some of the other, you know, topics. But, you know, obviously, you know, it's funny, man. It's not funny, but it's as we go forward and as of late, I think you guys will agree, there's just as much, if not more, attention put on Halloween. And so, and I even go as far as to say more attention put on Halloween than there is Easter. But I feel like soon it will be just as big as, you know, Christmas and any other holiday out there. Oh, so what, I mean, seeing this from a media perspective, thoughts on it?
You know, Denon, like, you know, you go places now. I just was in a store the other day, and, you know, they had a big, like, you know, it's Halloween Big Witch, like, right at the front to greet you, you know, which, of course, I wasn't greeted at all. I'm like, I'm really not feeling that. You know, been to other functions, even places that I either work in or sometimes frequent, and, you know, they got the ghouls and the ghosts hanging up, and sometimes in the difference is, like, in prominent places. And over the years, I think you're absolutely right, Denon, it's been gaining traction and gaining ground. You can see that in the stores and everything else, also through different things that, you know, usually where, like, horror flicks, although they'll be on full blast, I'm sure in the next couple of days and even months or so, but now we see that even more often, like, not just around Halloween, but just in general, those type of movies were, like, just some crazy stuff, The Devil Within and some other crazy, you know, just crazy stuff that you see movie-wise. So I do believe it's gaining traction, like you said, in popularity, and may at some point, you know, by the grace of God, not surpass Easter, but, you know, try to, or even, you know, Christmas as well.
Which is just even saying that, it sounds crazy,
yeah.
It sounds ridiculous, but you guys have to understand this is the direction that the world, you know, is moving towards. Speaking of which, real quick, one of the next live between brothers that you and you guys will hear me and Oshel do will be on the Left Behind trilogy, just the whole concept of being left behind and how not to be left behind is actually going to be the title of it, but where we're going to be breaking down the movies, you know, as well as discussing the new movie, the remake, and just the differences and why the differences are so apparent. And so definitely you want to, you know, tune in for that a little bit later on in the month. Real quick about Halloween. You know, I'm kind of familiar with it. I've done some research on it. I want to just share with you guys, as Oshel said, it's gaining more traction. And I just want to tell you, this is not okay. If you guys listen to this show, we're not just a relationship show, a dating show. We talk about everything from a biblical perspective. Biblically, Halloween is not okay. This world is based on satanic and the occult beliefs. You understand that? And so because of that, the entertainment industry, the political industry, because of that, they use certain things like this to project, they use it as a reason to just kind of openly and blatantly you know, speak on what they believe, you know, and put out these this symbolism that we talk about that's pretty much hidden or, you know, hidden in plain sight, you know, the rest of the year. But Halloween, they really go above and beyond and just put it out there. And, you know, as far as the ghosts, the ghouls, the goblins, and I wanted to just share something with you as Christians. Like, it's not okay, biblically, it's not okay to participate. It's not a joke. It's not just, oh, ha-ha, it's just something in fun. Let's just dress up like a goblin. Let's just be a witch. Like, that's not okay. You know what I'm saying? At all. And so I want to tell you why it's okay. Just if you guys are unfamiliar with what it is. I just want to tell you what it is. Because most people don't even know what Halloween is. You understand that? It's a pagan holiday. Okay, it's not of God. It's nothing Christian about it. It comes from the term All Hallows Eve, and according to, and this is my source here, one of many sources. You can do your own research, and I encourage you to. But Encyclopedia Britannica says a little bit of history on it, just to kind of educate you, those who may not be familiar with some of the history, because this is just one aspect of it. But so many places around the world have their own interpretations of it, and so have been influenced by it. And but this is just one. In ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October 31st towards the end of the summer, where the souls of the dead, okay, were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and the autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, goblins, black cats, fairies, demons, and all kinds of other, you know, demonic images were said to be roaming about. It says that it was the time to placate the supernatural powers controlling the processes of nature. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for the divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. So, in short, it's a pagan holiday designed to honor, remember, and celebrate the dead. You guys understand that out there? Overall, I mean, like I said, it's a lot of different things and has different interpretations, but overall, that's what it is. It's a holiday designed to celebrate the dead. Well, what is the dead? You know, dead comes, you know, demons, demonic activity. You understand that? So when you talk about, you know, like when you look at some of these shows like, The Walking Dead. You know, zombie hunters, this, like mummies, like it's all this stuff is designed to honor and glorify dead. And people love this stuff. Vampires, they're dead. They live forever. It's all based on that. And it's no coincidence that Halloween is the holiday designed to celebrate all of these things. We see it all around 365 days a year. But that's the day where they celebrate the dead, demonic activity. Now, I want to get your take on this, Osho, but one verse that came to mind, I want to get your interpretation on it, is 1 Corinthians 10:21 that specifically speaks on this holiday as far as honoring demonic activity, the dead. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So if you look at what Halloween is, it's honoring the dead, which are, you know, demons come from, you know, dead. That's, you know what I'm saying, like how they do it. What's your thoughts, man?
Well, just a couple of things to get into this a little bit. Dana, I think everything that you said is completely true. Let's look at verse 20 real quickly of 1 Corinthians 10:20. It says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. And then as you just read, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And you cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. And basically even when people talk, you know, there's all this thing, oh, I'm, you know, talking to a dead person, this person, that person. what that is, and there was a movie, not that I saw, but I understand the plot behind it, called The Conjuring, which was one of those other movies, you know, one of those scary movies. But to the point of the movie, apparently at the end, they did reveal, which is a truth, that these ghosts, quote-unquote ghosts or spirits of the dead that these people were seeing were actually demons pretending and playing as dead spirits. And that's one of the things that demons do, is that they present themselves in different forms, and one of which being dead people and dead spirits. So when you see those haunted houses, people are like, what is that that flashed by? You know, what is that? And they actually see stuff, and they go, oh, my God, it's a demon. That's exactly what it is. And so, we, you know, that's one of the things that we need to very, you know, first begin to understand. And like you said, 1 Corinthians 10:21 really speaks very clearly to that. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. So you can't have fellowship with demons and have fellowship with God. And it doesn't work that way. You know, and I remember just very distinctly, this is coming to my mind, like you said, it's all in our popular culture and all these things. I remember playing the game with Batman, Arkham Asylum or Arkham City or whatever. And I remember the game was like, okay, you're Batman, you're fighting, you're doing whatever. It was seemingly, okay, cool, you're the hero. And I remember this one stage where he goes and he's, you know, speaking to Ra's al Ghul, supposed to be speaking to him. And I'll never forget the character in the voice, Ra's al Ghul says, now drink the blood of the demons in this cup. And I was like, what? And I found myself trying to get, and so and this is in the game, trying to come off the stage. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, no, you know, you can't use anything else to figure it out. But see, these are some of the ways, you know, unfortunately, you know, games like that, you know, and this stuff in general is like in our society or culture that you have to be aware of, you know, and we see it right there. But that's almost like a visualization of what this scripture is saying not to do, you know, and they're like putting it in a game like, let's do this. But when we participate in things or don't understand and, you know, celebrate things at certain times, then we can also kind of be doing that in the same sense. So.
Absolutely, and that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Let me just – obviously this is it from a biblical perspective, you know, in a – you know, in as direct way as possible, more of a spiritual analyzation of it. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord, kind of like a symbolic reference. But, you know, just from a everyday standpoint or even a worldly standpoint, you guys got to understand you can't be of the world and of God. You can't be in the club and in church. You can't be listening to Bobby Shmurda, as we talked about the other day, as well as, you know, Donnie McClurkin or whoever. You see what I'm saying? You kind of got to make a choice. You can't just live for the world and live for people. You know, if you know, you can't have your church, because I know what it's like. You can't have your church friends, but then your worldly friends. You kind of got to do things God's way, because at the end of the day, God isn't trying to, you know, fellowship with any lukewarm Christians. And so you do have to make a choice. So that's kind of what it says here. In fact, when it comes to Halloween, because I see a lot of people, I talk to people, say, well, you know, what are you being for Halloween? Or let's go to this Halloween party. I'm like, well, you know, I thought you were a Christian. And they're not making the connection. They're not understanding that Christians don't celebrate demonic holidays, because Christians follow the Bible, and the Bible says you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. If you celebrate Halloween, then you're celebrating demons. I mean, I don't know how else to, you know, make it more clear than that. But what else does the word say? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. But instead, this is one of my favorite scriptures, says, but, and this is why I do what I do, says, but instead, expose them. See, a lot of people, they want to, okay, I'll listen to the show, okay, I'll get this information, but they don't want to take it that second step and expose it. See, what we're doing right now is we're exposing what Halloween really is. Okay, we're talking about the history, we're talking about what the word says. So I think when people hear that, they're like, wow, oh, snap, I didn't realize that I was actually participating in demonic activity when I put on this Halloween costume, when I allow my son, when I allow my daughter to go to Kmart and buy some Halloween costume. That's actually, I'm practicing Satanism. I'm practicing demonic activity. This is not of God. You see, that's what people aren't making the connection. But now that you understand that you're not supposed to take part, you're not supposed to put on that costume. Because it says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Why do you think people go trick-or-treating at nighttime? You could go trick-or-treating during the day. It's a nighttime thing. It's darkness, demonic. The demons come out at night. The dead rise at night. The unfruitful works of darkness, but instead to expose them. That's how that works, guys. Halloween is not okay. Like I said, we don't even want to spend too much time talking about Halloween because we don't want to give it that much attention because we're about God. We don't even, we both, you know what I'm saying? But we want to educate y'all on what it is. You know, okay, when you see your friends dressing up, this is what you tell them. Say, no, I'm not going out with you tonight because 2 Corinthians says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? If you're about the light, why are you going out at nighttime with the demons? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk amongst them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Be separate from them, says the Lord. It means don't go trick-or-treating with them. Don't entertain that, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's what we all claim that we want, but then you want to also trick or treat. You can't have it both ways. Real quick, one more, and then we want to move on to some other stuff. John 1:11, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. You guys see how this works? Any thoughts on any of these scriptures that we're just throwing out here?
Just the fact, like you said, and I know it's, such a thing, big things, parents with their kids, but, you have to, make a choice. And what you can choose to do is not to celebrate that day, obviously, because what it stands for. Yeah, dressing up is fine, but you would not want to do it, like in that context on Halloween because of what it stands for and because, you don't want your kids going out there and partaking and participating as a part of it. And I know, churches sometimes have other functions, to rival that. And so, do that. Do a Hallelujah night or do a different day where they, just dress up nothing, crazy, not zombie stuff like that, but just in terms of dressing up, but not make it about and partake in Halloween and celebrate, do something about the Lord on that day or give thanks to God on that other day. And so there are just some ways that people can get around that, which we can always get around it, but making sure that we're, standing up for God, what things are of God, and also recognizing and not standing for what things are not of God.
Right. And I got scriptures for days. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Okay? You got to make the choice. Are you going to be of light or of darkness? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And clearly, and there's no debate about this. There's no, it's clearly anything associated with Halloween totally goes against what the scripture says. Do to the glory of God. You're celebrating a demonic holiday. This country they literally get off. They get excited about Halloween. It's actually ridiculous how excited people get, and these corporations and these stores and just everyone, it seems like.
I think one last thing I want to say to Don, I think it's just that what is the most popular thing? It's like this, the spirit of the world, like whether it's for God or against God, will be displayed by our popular culture. And so just like you said, Halloween becomes, this big thing, and I have some Christians like, well, why don't you celebrate it, or whatever. And of course I will clearly explain to them. So we understand how, that we see it just like it becomes popular in our movies, in the games, in whatever, in the stores. And so you can tell what we really, worship or as a people, as a culture, find important or get excited about. Like you said, we get more excited about the things of darkness rather than the things of light. Right. And when we look at John 3, real quickly, John 3:16, what does it say in John 3:16 about darkness and light? Well, we know that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," right, "that whoever believes in him, you know, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But what does it go on to say when we look at John 3:16 or beyond John 3:16? When you look at it beyond that, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now watch verse 19. This is the pinpoint. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Well, see, what we're seeing is a reflection right now that as a world, as a people, the majority, our deeds are evil. The world, you know, is evil, and you see it reflected that we love things that are of darkness more so than things that are of light. That's why people don't even want you to say "God bless you" in certain places anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want you to say in schools. They don't want you to say it. It's just weird. People look at you weird. Before, mm-hmm. it was just like, okay, somebody's thing is like, oh, okay, bless you. But now it's just like some people, you sneeze, some people look at you like you're crazy. Some people don't, they don't say anything. And, you know, it's just like, it didn't used to be like that. You know, we as a society have made it uncomfortable. It's nothing uncomfortable. It's just bless you. You know, that's just what it is.
And God bless you. Yeah.
Right. God bless you.
God bless you. And that's where we even truncate that at times. We say bless you. Notice that. We say bless you, happy holidays, no Christmas, Xmas. All of those things are designed really to, you know, pull God out of it. It's little tiny things, but that's why I always tell people, God bless you. That's why I always tell my children, you say, God bless you, not bless you. You know what I'm saying? Because who is blessing you? It's God. And that's where you get into the issue, because then people, they don't want God blessing them because they love darkness rather than light. But God is the only one that can bless us. So if you notice, you say, God bless you, that's when it becomes an issue or a problem. You know, really, and sometimes even bless you, right? They don't even want to hear that. So,
it's interesting that you said that, and real quick about that, before we get off that, a lot of times people are saying, it's crazy, like you might look at one of these award shows or the Grammys or, you know, even songs about, like, yeah, so-and-so blessed me with this hot track, you know, and it's like, what? It's like, yeah, I won the lottery. I got blessed with this lottery, or so-and-so blessed. It's like, no, God, as Ultra just said, God gives blessings.
If
something that you perceive to be good happens to you, that's not a blessing. That's just, yeah, that's something that's clearly not of God. It's not a blessing, because God is the only one that can bless you. It has to be of God to be a blessing. God is the only one that gives blessings. Somebody, I mean, you see what I'm saying? They may do something nice for you, you know, something godly for you, then yeah, that's a blessing. But something totally not of God is, you know, it's not a blessing. So like I say, guys, that's just kind of our little spiel about Halloween. But, you know, I would just encourage you all to continue doing your research on what the Bible says about it. Continue doing your research on the origins of it. And then make your own decision as a Christian, as a believer of Christ. Like, wait a minute, is this something? Forget celebrating, but is this something I even want to associate with in any way? Remember what it says about exposing. It's not okay to just not do something. We're supposed to expose evil. Remember that. All right? Now Halloween is one of those things, guys, as we move on to our next topic, is one of those things that's blatant. And if you don't see it as blatant, that's part of the problem. But it's blatant. But what are some things that are not so blatant? You know, as we talk about demonic activity, obviously, I mean, Halloween is the celebration of the dead, celebration of demons. That's what it is. But some other things are the same thing. They are glorifying and uplifting and putting in positions of power over your life, demonic activity. You know, let's talk about those. Let's talk about psychics. Now, Osha, I know you have a lot that you want to say. I have some scriptures specifically pertaining to psychics and mediums. There's a new movie coming out this week, or just came out on Friday, I think, called Ouija, you know, about like the Ouija boards and, you know, all this type of stuff, tarot cards. What's your take on all this, man? What should the people know about it?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I guess, you know, as far as where to begin, as far as, you know, psychics and, just like you said, data on psychics and tarot cards and the occult and divination. These are some things that the Lord clearly, it was very clear, actually, told his the people, the Israelites, which is, you know, would be the same for us, not to deal with, you know, not to partake in as well. You know, things like you mentioned, like Ouija boards, seances, psychics, and channeling. I actually talked to a guy before, and I was witnessing to him. He told me how he had been a part of the seance. Didn't believe in God, but how he told me he was a part of the seance, and he knew demons were around him. Now, mind you, he didn't believe in God, but he knew he felt like they were the presence of demons. I said, well, you're very right. I said, that's why you need the Lord Jesus, you know, so that you're not caught up in those things. So all of those things are demonic. Trying to communicate with the dead, you know, and a lot of times seances has to do with, dead people entering your bodies and things like that. But if you look at, even if we look at Deuteronomy, I want to say Deuteronomy, I think it's 18.
18:10.
Actually.
Want me to read it to you?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
I got that one right here. That's actually one of my favorites. It says Deuteronomy 18:10. I'll let Osho break it down for you guys. But Deuteronomy 18:10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone who burns his, which is, this is a whole other topic in and of itself, but anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. Okay? AKA a sacrifice, as we talked about on Thursday night's show. All right. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer, or anyone who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. That's amazing right there. Real quick, Osho, before you, because I know you got a lot, but I just got, do y'all understand what that means? Fortune tellers, people who interpret omens, sorcerers, witchcraft, charmers, mediums. There used to be a show on TV called Medium. Necromancers, or anyone who makes inquiries of the dead. What's that dude's name? You know, he does all the celebrities. I forget his name. The weirdo. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's a guy like a celebrity medium. He dealt with the Kardashians, and he deals with all of them. He's on. You can just Google him, celebrity. You know, medium. I forget his name. He's real famous, but like that's what this is about. Like it says, anyone who does those things is an abomination to the Lord. So if they themselves are abominations to the Lord for doing them, what does that make you guys? Not you guys, but I'm just saying anyone who, who seeks them out, who pays them money. What's your thoughts on this?
I mean, first of all, if you pay somebody money, I mean, you're paying them to help you sin. You know, first of all, like, you know, you're paying them under condemnation to yourself. We can repent and things like that, but if you're seeking that, one of the major issues with this, and this is the whole point of the fortune telling, medium, psychics, it all has to do with seeking knowledge outside of God. And this is what we need to understand as Christians. Every Christian needs to clearly understand this, that this is the same thing, exact thing, that happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. God told Adam, this is what you're to do. Eve knew as well what she needed to do, because she repeated very clearly what God had told her, or told them, or told Adam to tell her, in the garden to the serpent. She, you know, very clearly, God said, we shall eat of every fruit, you know, but not the one in the middle of the garden, not this one. And what did the serpent do? Proceed to give some quote unquote, some information that she thought that she didn't know. Look at the tree. It's good. He knows that, you know, God just doesn't want you to eat it, because then you'll learn of knowledge of good and evil. Notice again, it was about seeking. The original sin, at least Adam and Eve, was about seeking knowledge outside of God. That is what all this is about. Fortune telling, trying to somehow learn your future outside of God, psychics, outside of God. And what it allows for is for demonic influences to tell you and give you information a little bit here and there, just like the serpent, and then suck you in and give you information that will lead you ultimately to hell. It will lead you outside of relationship with God. It will lead you into fellowship with demons, which, Dadon, you just read earlier, that you cannot drink the cup of God and also drink the cup of demons. And so basically that's the bottom line. This is, you know, where this, you know, comes to at this place. Just real quickly, then Acts 16:16-24. I just want to read that real quick. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 24. It reads, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl," notice the word, possessed with a spirit of divination, "met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling." That's usually what fortune-tellers do. They're after your money. "The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul," now remember, Paul is a Christian, Apostle Paul, "greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit," notice he didn't speak to the girl, he spoke to the spirit within her, that demon, that, you know, divination spirit, which was a demon, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Now, notice how the world is. This is what we do, or most of the world say. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.'" So basically, and then they, you know, were put on trial. This is where Paul and, you know, and Silas go into prison. They get, you know, locked up. But basically, like, even as the world, you know, seeking those things, seeking knowledge, we should not do that as Christians. We should have nothing to do with looking at mediums, psychics, astrology, trying to read tarot cards, none of that. All of that is designed to be a gateway, Ouija boards, a portal to allow demons and demonic influence into your life. And I know I posted something, I didn't mean to post a picture, but on Facebook several months ago, about some girls that had been dealing with a Ouija board and how they were, you know, found themselves talking and saying crazy stuff, and they had to take them to the hospital because they had become possessed by demons. That's what the problem was, is, and was. And so that's what we need to understand as Christians, that we need not to have anything to do with these types of things.
Right. Let me read to you over in Leviticus, which is basically just the book of just the law. You know, so many of the laws of God says, "Do not turn to mediums." This is Leviticus 19:31. It says, "Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out, you know, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God." Basically saying you don't need them. You don't need that horoscope in the morning, which we're going to talk about. You know, you don't need that, that horoscope first thing in the morning in your newspaper. You don't need to go downtown and stop in to get your palm read for $5. That's foolishness.
No.
I mean, it's foolishness, don't get me wrong, but there is some truth to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a power, but that power is not of God. That's why you got to be careful what you let into your spirit. Somebody said, "Well, you know, that stuff be on point, though." Yeah, I'm sure it does. You know?
Yep,
you know,
but a point. The point is to draw you, and pin you down so that your relationship with God is destroyed. And that's what the enemy does, give you just enough of what you want until you no longer can get what you need, which is God. You need God, but they'll give you just as much what you want until you your relationship with God is gone or messed up. And then you can't have fellowship with God properly. And that's what the enemy seeks to do, to draw souls to hell. And no $5 reading or tarot card is worth you going to hell. Ultimately, they're worth your relationship with God, yeah.
Right, or a generation of curses that will come after
exactly.
It, just like Adam
exactly.
And Eve.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened. God gave them everything they needed, just like we have everything we need. But if you turn to something outside of God, not only are you not going to have what you need, but you're going to lose everything that you already have. And you're going to go to hell. You know what I mean? So, and it's funny, you ever hear people say, it's funny, they're like, you know, "Well, who are you to say that you're going there?" I'm nobody to say that. The Word says that. The Old Testament says it. God says that.
And I just want to be clear on that. I mean, I'm not, you know, saying for people that, okay, you've done that before. We can repent and turn to the Lord. The difference is that when you willingly do something, you know, and you know the difference, just like Saul, who was King Saul, well, I'm going to get to that scripture, before David was king, knew that mediums and psychics were not supposed to be in the land. He knew this. And that's the difference, that he went in knowingly, you know, and did this. And he was already, his line, you know, kingdom was messed up. But, you know, he got in extra trouble, you know, because of that. And the woman who was a psychic, you know, or you know, whatever, she's like, what are you doing? When she found out that God actually, you know, in the midst of something foolishness he was trying to do, you know, called him out, basically Saul, you know, and did something that was unexpected, even by the woman that was a quote-unquote psychic, that she knew that she was in trouble because she knew the stuff she was doing. She's like, wait a minute, you're King Saul, and then she was scared. See, the power of God is greater than, basically, the power of the devil, the enemy. The enemy can throw little lines out here and there to reel people in, but he has no true power. He's not, omniscient? God is omniscient, all-knowing. The devil is not all-knowing. He just has a few crumbs here and there that he baits people with to draw them in to, you know, where our relationship with God dwindles. And if it keeps dwindling is what we're saying, you can end up outside of relationship with God, which would then ultimately put you in hell because you did not, you know, end your relationship or life with a relationship with God.
Right. Let me read a couple more. I want to read two more scriptures, then we're going to move on. Because I know you guys, Sunday night, you know, I know Osho has a family, I have a family, and you guys, you know, tomorrow's Monday, get ready for working things. We won't hold y'all up too long, but this is some really important information we want to get to y'all. Leviticus 20, verse 6 says, if a person turns to mediums and necromancers, whoring after them, basically fiending for them, being like a whore, going after them, seeking them out, I will set my face against that person, and I will cut him off from amongst his people. I will turn my face from him. He has no words for you. He will not associate himself. You won't have a relationship with God if you turn to people not of God. You guys have to understand the severity of that. God doesn't play that stuff. And like Osher said, if you've done it, that's, you know, it is what it is. But and you can repent.
Yeah.
And, repent. Yeah. That's the key. It's not over and done. You can, but the key is you gotta repent.
Yeah. You know, and like, turn and then stop doing it. Yeah.
And then stop doing it. And
yeah.
One more in 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see how that works? You guys can't, you know, we were talking on Thursday night show about, you know, being careful who you take relationship advice from, being careful who you get the word of God from, who you listen to as far as preaching into your life, you know, who you allow to pray for. You got to be careful because there are false prophets out here. Mm-hmm. Everyone who claims to be of God is not of God. Everyone who claims to be your friend, I just said on Facebook, all your Facebook friends aren't your real friends. You got to be careful out here.
You know, and just real quickly on that note, Danon, even with the repentance, and I just, you know, feel to say this to people out there, for any of you that have been, you know, dealt with Ouija boards, I know, I'm sure many people have, you know, dealt with, you know, tarot card reading and psychics and things like that. If you just say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, God, you know, I repent, and Lord, I renounce those things, and I break any covenant that I've made, you know, or bond that I made with a demon or the demonic through the practice or, you know, using of those things or even seeking those things by the blood of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. And I just implore you guys to, you know, to do that and actually do that. Even if you do it right now, repent and just renounce those things in the name of Jesus. And so that, you know, and ask God to cleanse you completely by the blood of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus, obviously. And so that you can be set free, because those things create a bondage spiritually that hinder you from having a relationship with God. So if you guys, you know, out there would just renounce those things and completely, you know, do away with those things. Like I said, back in the day, they used to burn things and, you know, magic books, you know, and things like that. And you know, that's what we need to, you know, just understand that we need to renounce those things and have, you know, nothing by any means to do with them. I had someone I knew one time that was doing something, you know, and playing with something. I said, listen, this is what you need to do. Renounce that thing. And it was like a card, one of them Pokemon cards or something. And I said, you know, what do you think you need to do now? I had them read some scripture. And they burned the card because we want to have no part or anything to do with that.
Right. And it's deep, you know, it's deep because I used to mess around with that stuff back in, you know, year, you know, I was a kid,
right.
You know,
right.
Ouija boards, and I don't even want to talk about it, but like, yo,
yeah.
I've seen some stuff, you know, like some weird stuff with that. And but now, obviously, as a Christian, as an adult, I understand, like, wow, we're talking about tonight what it was, you know, those horoscopes I used to read,
I've had the same experience. I had to renounce it as well. Yep. And name is
I had to.
Yeah,
you have to. I had to renounce and I had to straight up apologize to God for seeking out, you know, going outside of, you know, his word and just that relationship with him. Because he's all that you what do you need a horoscope for when you got the Bible? You know what I mean? The Bible is your horoscope. That's what it is. It's your guide. It's your whatever you need to wake up to first thing in the morning and read for direction. Ain't nothing a horoscope or any type of astrology can give you that can't be found in the Word of God. So hopefully everybody understands that. I want to talk about astrology. I actually want to get into that. But one more scripture just says, what the heck is it? Here it is right here. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So you see, you got to be careful about those guys. Because there are, see, that's the thing. Everyone doesn't understand that there are, in fact, such things as false prophets, you know, and once you understand that, then you can know to look out for them. But if you're not even thinking, like, oh, he might be a false prophet, she might be a false prophet, you know, then you're not even thinking that that's an option. So, so that's pretty much psychic readings, like we said, Ouija boards, obviously seances, channeling inner spirits, tarot cards. When I think of spirits, when I think of channeling inner spirits, something else that's on the agenda to talk about that a lot of people don't really associate that with commonly, but it's actually the same type of thing. You're actually channeling the same type of spirit is yoga. Now, I couldn't wait to talk about this. You know, because I know, Osho, you've been wanting to talk about this for a while, and, you know, mainly because of its demonic and the spiritual nature. People don't understand that yoga is a spirit. I'm going to let you, Osho, go ahead, man, just go with it. Let the people know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically, you know, we're dealing with the spiritual practice of yoga, which basically in turn comes out of Hinduism, and people don't understand, we don't really understand let me just say that the impact that Hinduism has had on the Western culture. Basically, Eastern philosophies have been mixed with our Western, you know, beliefs, and that's where we find ourselves. Well, really, we find ourselves nowhere, because philosophy and in turn a lot of the Eastern philosophy, of course, takes you nowhere. When you're dealing with, you know, karma and things like that and dharma and different things, you know, which is dharma is supposed to be like harmony. I may not even be saying it completely correctly. Or moksha, which has to do with, you know, being liberated somehow. And, you know, but all these things, think about that. We use the word, how many Christians use the word karma? You know, how many people use it, but also how many Christians. So basically, even, you know, getting into that, the yoga in itself is a practice. Basically, there are different forms of yoga as well. In Hinduism, I think there are like four of them. One is like karma yoga. One is like ahimsa, which is like deals with comes from that same belief, rather, nonviolence to all living things. A lot of Hindus, you know, deal with, you know, peace and vegetarianism. So yoga has to deal with, you know, somehow trying to basically obtain or get to a different spiritual level of practice that's supposed to get you in a certain place spiritually that is supposed to be good for you. And usually you practice meditation and yoga, clearing your mind, make your mind blank, think of nothing. But the Bible says to meditate on the Word of God day and night. And so when we actually do things like this, even certain of the stretches in yoga are designed to actually put your body in certain positions to allow demons to enter your body. A lot of people don't know that. Cobra stretch, which is, just forms of different things. A cobra stretch is designed actually for to have a spiritual spirit to go into the very back, lower part of your back when you do that stretch. So a lot of yoga practices, which a lot of people don't know, are actually forms of worship to other gods or demons. And a lot of people that are, a Christian are unaware of that. So you really have to be careful. Yes, being in shape is good and exercising, stretching, excuse me, but again, what is that based on? Where does it come from? So if you're doing something that somebody used for spiritual devotion, and it was spiritual devotion that was not to God, and you're doing the same exact things and clearing your mind and thinking of nothing, well, then you're actually in spiritual devotion to something that is not God, and you're doing the same things that they're doing. And so that's what that does. We don't ever want to clear our minds, and we end up, like I said, attracting demons and giving them entryway, just like the Ouija board and other things and the psychic readings do and things like that, and, mediums allow those to come into our lives.
Oh, sure. Let me read something real quick about that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I think that, because I just want to make it as plain as possible, because mm-hmm. I think one of the issues that is that a lot of people, they hear certain terms. They don't hear, when you hear yoga being discussed or taught or, people teaching it, you're not thinking demon. You're not thinking demonic or even satanic, but you are hearing spirits. Mm-hmm. I've heard people, I've never done it personally, but I've heard teachers, I've heard, classes being taught, I've been in the environment, there's chanting, there's humming, you're allowing spirits, I've heard they'll say, let the spirit overtake you and just be at ease in the universe, and all types of, the universe, people, that's, you're worshiping, that's a form of worship, but what you got to realize is, if you're worshiping anything or anyone that's not God, that's not Jesus Christ, that's mm-hmm. pagan, that is demonic. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about the universe in a way, you know what I'm saying? Like, just if you're talking about the universe, that's like another God. People are using that as a God. They're like, oh, yeah, the spirit of the, what is the spirit of the universe? No, there's Jesus Christ, there's God. Mm-hmm. Anything outside mm-hmm. of that is demonic, period. And so that's,
I think, didn't Jay-Z think the universe or something at one point on one of his, things? I think he's like, I want to thank the universe or something like that, which, again, is like a form of, like you said, worship.
We talked about that on when we did our, not this year, we did our post-VMA special where we talked about decoding Illuminati symbolism, Satanism. But a couple of years ago when we did, because that's our SNL, we made it an annual event. Not this year, but last year. Jay-Z, when he gave his speech, that was one of, I've seen and heard a lot of things. That was one of the most blatantly demonic things I've ever heard in my life, where he said, and you guys could probably catch it on YouTube, he said something, I don't even remember off the top of my head, but something to the effect of, I want to thank God a little bit, but mainly the universe. It was something crazy. Like, he acted like it was like a slip of the tongue, but it was very deliberate. It was like crazy. Just look it up. Jay-Z thanking the universe. But mainly the universe. And that's how they do it. That's how they worship. They look at God, the universe as a God, which is clearly the epitome, really, of Satanism and of demonic worship. So, the spirit. There are spirits out there. When you hear yoga being taught and they say the spirit, they ain't speaking about Jesus Christ. They ain't speaking about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, right.
That's not what they're talking about. So any spirit other than the Holy Spirit is a demonic spirit. Y'all know that, right? That's what it is. There are no other spirits other than Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's what yoga really epitomizes. Humming, meditating, chanting, those are things that are clearly are not of God. Let me read y'all a couple of scriptures just specifically about that. It says over in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit, see, let me just see, it says now the Spirit, not a spirit, not spirits, plural, but the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God himself, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, plural, and the teachings of demons. See that? There's two different things here. There's the Spirit, capitalized. If you read your Bible, it's capitalized. Okay? It says expressly says that in later times they will depart from the faith. So you guys see that? If you're following the spirits, you have departed from faith. Okay? So if you do yoga where it's discussing spirits, plural, as well as lowercase, it also says deceitful spirits. Not the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but deceitful spirits, plural and lowercase, and the teachings of demons. They go together. That's why it says and. Not, semicolon, not comma, not or, but and, meaning in the same context. Deceitful spirits is the same thing as teachings of demons. Demons is the same as spirits. Yoga is the practice of spirits. You see what I'm saying? You see the connection, guys? 1 Timothy 4:1, look it up. Okay, and it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So something that may seemingly, prepare your body, physical fitness, meditation, relaxation, calming spirit, it may seem like it would be good. Hey, what's the big deal? I'm lazy. I don't want to necessarily go running or do some push-ups, so let me just do some yoga. That's a good alternative. No, it's not a good alternative, because it says even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And one more, in Hebrews 13:8-9, says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Okay, diverse and strange teachings. If it's anything that's strange and diverse, it's that yoga stuff, it's that chanting stuff. That's a little strange. That's a little out there. It talks about spirits. If you're a Christian, that's strange to me. When I hear them chanting, all that, that's strange to me. Why? Because I love Jesus Christ, because I'm a Christian. You know the same thing. It's not natural. It doesn't seem like something a Christian should be following. You're right. That's why you shouldn't do it. That's why it says right here. What else about it? Also, what else do you want to say? The origin, you kind of talked about it, but anything else you want to say about the yoga?
Just
acupuncture.
For people that are Christians, just stay away from it. The same with acupuncture. Acupuncture is designed, where you're being, needles put in a certain part, again, to allow spirits. And, that's how they set these things up. You dress it up, but it's the same stuff from back in the day. It's just dressed up to allow spirits to enter your body in certain points that they call pressure points of your body. That what it is, it just makes it more accessible, easily accessible to spirit, to demons, to enter your body, to influence you and have influence over you. And that is why those like yoga, like acupuncture, to stay away from those things, and those are not natural. You want healing? Go to Jesus Christ. He said that by his stripes, you are healed. You want focus, concentrate on the Word of God. You want fitness, run, jog around the block. And, think about reciting some scripture while you do it. There's different ways that we can do things as Christians, to stay in shape, to stay focused, to stay sharp, to stay healthy, eat healthier, eat better, and also pray, and pray over your body. it works. You pray over your body, you can keep your body healthy. The Lord can keep it healthy. And also we got to do practical things like eat right, you know, and get the proper amount of sleep and just do the right things we need to do. But we need to stay away from things that are not of God, that are in the guise of exercise or focus or whatever they are of some sort of other healing or something better or good for ourselves or for us that is not.
Right. Let me tell y'all something, man. I want to just take it one step further and actually probably make some people mad. I'll even use myself in many of these examples. What I got to realize is that as Christians, we have become spiritually, emotionally, and absolutely physically lazy. Laziness. We are lazy individuals. Emotional. What am I talking about? We become lazy. Instead of praying for God and being patient and waiting on God for a mate, for a helper, what are we doing? We just did a special on friends with benefits. We'll go, instead of being patient for a husband or a wife, we go out and just have sex. We're lazy emotionally. We don't want to wait. You know, we want love, but we settle for lust. We're just lazy. You know, physically, we're walking around here fat, out of shape, diabetes, you know, five chins, necks, you know, flab hanging off. That's not sexy, and we make excuses for it, you know. And instead of just, you know, like we say, you know, let's do yoga. No, let's not do yoga. Let's stop going to McDonald's. Let's stop going to Wendy's. Let's put the cheesesteak down. Let's do some push-ups. Don't go to 7-Up and get a Slurpee. Get down on your hands and knees and do a burpee. My wife taught me about it. You know about burpees? You know what I'm saying? Stop being lazy. Stop sitting in front of the TV eating nachos and actually do something. Put the Coke down and get some water. You know, we become physically lazy. You know, spiritually, we're lazy. Instead of praying, we seek the horoscopes. We seek out the yoga. Mm-hmm. We seek out the psychics to tell us what's going on. Instead of just praying and having faith, you know, and financially lazy. So what do? We need money. We're broke. Your account is overdrawn. What do? Instead of praying or even God forbid, getting a job and doing things financially, you know, making sound decisions, you know, people are going to these payday loans. They're going to the casinos. Let's try to win this back. No. You don't have to do that. You just got to stop being lazy. Sorry for that tangent, but I mean,
you're right on point. I mean, you made some very good points. I mean, you know, that you're absolutely right. You know, like people had that term, you know, popcorn microwave Christian. You know, a lot of laziness, and I'm not excluding. I'm not saying, you know, when we say these things, it's that I think we do this in different areas. We can all be doing things like that in different areas of our lives. The point is to change those behaviors and habits as Christians, as people of God. You know, we're supposed to rely on the power of God, but a lot of times we walk in the flesh, in all honesty, as opposed to walking in the power or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, being like patience and long-suffering. We walk in impatience and, you know, and anger and, you know, whatever else, you know, malice. And we don't walk, you know, according to the Spirit of God. And that's one of the things that we have to change. And that's why it's so easy, unfortunately, for the enemy, like we're talking about all these things, they're trying to dupe us as people that are Christians into all these things, believing in reincarnation, which I have so many Christians, people that say they're Christian, tell me, you know, that they believe in reincarnation, or what do you think about reincarnation, because they believe in it. And that is why we're duped and fooled, because unfortunately we don't pick up the word of God. We, like you said, pray enough and see, now, wait a minute, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell, you know, that we can be reincarnated also for the point that you don't accept Jesus as being your ultimate choice and only choice for salvation, and somehow think that you may come back as whatever, a butterfly or whatever, you know, salt, whatever, different things. But we need to understand that, no, once it's over, it's over. Either you chose the Lord Jesus or you did not. And we need to stop being lazy, like you said, as Christians.
Right. And there was just a post in the group the other day about, somebody asked, how should we as Christians believe in karma? And the answer to that is absolutely no, we should not. That obviously derives from, you know, reincarnation and all that other stuff. And, you know, it's just foolish. It's over. Like you said, it's either heaven or hell. Either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And that's going to be determined by, you know, how you live your life.
And what you can do is, like you say, like even when somebody asks about karma, well, do you believe? No, and because, like, again, like exercise is good, but what is the spiritual connotation behind it? Yoga, it has to do with a worship and a philosophy. Karma has to do with a philosophy and a mindset, which takes your mindset away from Christ and your beliefs. So, no, we don't say we believe in karma. We say we believe you reap what you sow. Because that is biblical and that's scripture. So whenever somebody says something to me like, it must be karma, I say, well, they probably reap what they sowed. And you just respond in kind, not ignorantly, but with the word of God. Because the word of God, you know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a lie. And we just need to understand where it is in the word of God or how to combat things like that. I don't believe in luck. I believe in grace. So many people tell me, you must be lucky or you're so lucky. And I said, what can I say, Lord? I said, you know what? And when they say, you're lucky, I say, it's by his grace. And it's not rude. It's not ignorant. I don't say, you know what? I just say, by his grace. You know what I mean? Because I'm not, you know, buying into luck, or I may say I don't really believe in luck, but I believe in his grace, or I believe in grace. And you can say it in a way that's not rude or not ignorant, but make someone to understand that, wow, well, you don't adhere to that system of beliefs, a belief system of crossing your fingers and knocking on wood. All of that has to do with luck, or has to do with not believing in God, that God is in control of things and they don't happen by chance. Chance is like, that's how people believe we got here on this earth. That's the lie, that it was all by chance. We came out of a primordial soup. That's what that chance and luck has to do with, and where it comes from. But when we understand that, no, it's by the grace of God that I'm here. It's by the grace of God I have this job. It's by the grace of God I got this promotion or did really well. Then we can talk like, you know, Christians, not being religious, but talk like Christians out of faith and belief in God, and change people's language or mind thoughts, you know, concept or mindset rather. Amen. Sorry.
And that's, you know, there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance, karma,
no.
Reincarnation is Jesus Christ. And, you know, and we will reap what we sow. You know, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, and as we always say on the show, death can actually mean a number of different things. Actual physical death, death of your hopes, death of your dreams, death of your spiritual relationship with Christ. You know, but at the same time, actual death. You know what I mean? You know, so you want to be careful, man. You got to leave a lot of this stuff alone. What else? Now we can close it off with now astrology. Osho, you know, I mean, because I want to go in a little bit. You know, I know you wanted to speak a little bit about the origins of it and get into some of the specifics about some of these zodiac signs.
Well, you know, just the astrology, I believe I don't think they've really been able to pinpoint where they want to say exactly it came from. I could tell you, I mean, here's the thing. God created all things. The devil generally twists things and uses them for his advantage to dupe people. So, yes, you know, God made the stars or whatever, but where do we get that, you know, from the stargazing, watching the skies? A lot of historians agree that they think it came from the Chaldeans and the people that, you know, were Chaldeans, and that they would watch certain celestial bodies and, you know, look to the skies to read as signs and different things that they could see. I could get into a little deeper about that, about, you know, the book of Enoch, which is mentioned in the book of Jude, and how that talks about us learning certain things about the stars or reading them. But we need to understand, most importantly, that that is not of God. Again, it's seeking information. When it becomes seeking information outside of God or outside of the knowledge of God, not even the knowledge, but without God's consent and without consulting God, that's when we run into problems. So zodiac signs, horoscopes, oh, I'm going to read this today. Oh, this is my word for the day. No, it's not your word for the day. You know, the word for the day is in the Bible. That's where the word for the day is. In Jeremiah 29:11, God clearly says, I know my thoughts towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. If we would read that scripture, read the scriptures, thank you, Lord, and read that scripture, we would understand that God has a word for us in his word. And when we read the word, God can reveal his mind to us and what it is he's trying to say. But when we look outside to those, you know, astrology and I'm a Taurus, I'm a Pisces, whatever, you're a child of God. That's what you need to recognize, or whom you need to recognize yourself as, and understand that that is, carries more power. So you don't deal with the, it's like, what is it like, they used to say leather and pleather? You know, if you have leather, the real deal, then you don't need pleather. And so God is the real deal, and that's why we base our things, you know, our what we learn, or, you know, our work ethic, you know, and just about ourselves, about our life, about our future, we get that from God. And real quick, Dana, I want to read this last scripture, what the problem becomes, even with those horoscopes and things like that. I think it's in Deuteronomy 14, I want to say. And this is something that God mentioned. Well, obviously, you know, it's in the Bible in the Old Testament. But what he says in Deuteronomy 14, and, yeah, I should be able to pull it up in just a moment. But Deuteronomy 14, one of the things that the Lord talks about is looking up, or I think it was maybe Moses speaking to the people about, well, via God giving him that, looking up and being led to, you know, worship the stars. And it clearly says it in there. I want to say you might have, I don't know if you have that scripture data on, but it's in the book of Deuteronomy, and it talks about us, you know, being mindful that we, I think it's 419, excuse me, that we don't look up, that the people didn't look up and worship the stars. Ah, here we go, right here. And it says this right here. It says some other things, but it says clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19, and take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. So we begin to put our faith, we begin to put our hope, our trust in other things, you know, other than God. That's the major issue. The horoscope, this is, I know this is for me. Well, God already gave you what was for you. It's in his word. And he still continually speaks through his word and through people he puts in your life. But, you know, when we run to these things and we use them as our, this is how we direct our life, then we're not trusting God. We're not putting our faith in God. We're not putting our hope in God. We're not putting our hope in the word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not by the horoscope. So we need to, I don't mean to say it that way, but we need to understand that if it's not based on the word of God or it doesn't line up with the word of God, then we need to get rid of it. And then more than likely, we need to push that aside and not, you know, have to have things to deal with that. So the planets, the stars, and all those things, not worship them. Yeah.
Right, absolutely, and that's good information. And also I would take it as far as just to say, if you find yourself being tempted to worship those things or even seek them out, I would really just encourage you to self-reflect on your own faith. You know, really self-reflect on your personal relationship. You don't have to volunteer, you don't have to call in, you don't have to post it in the group or anything like that, but just, you know, ask yourself, like, wow, like, where do me and God stand right now? When you sit down and read that Bible, do you want to? Or is it like some type of blockage there? And usually when there's blockage, when you don't really feel like it, and you have a problem really getting into the Word and getting excited about the Word, typically there's something blocking that relationship with God. Sin separates your relationship with God, separates you from God. So, when you find your spirituality tested, when you find your faith tested, usually there's some type of sin there that's blocking those things. So once you, whether it's horoscopes, whether it's sex, whether it's that ex-boyfriend, whatever it is, girlfriend, whoever, you know, drugs, that narcotic, I mean, I don't care what it is, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to eliminate that from your life completely so you can get that relationship with God back to where it needs to be. In fact, here's a scripture, another one that I thought you were going to, but you were speaking from Deuteronomy 4:19. Deuteronomy 18:9 says, when you came into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, all right, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. So if you want to get to that promised land, there are going to be certain things that can stand in your way. And you got to make sure not to pick up bad habits. says, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of these nations. If God says something is an abomination, it's abominable, why are we doing it? Horoscopes is one of those things. Fortune tellers is one of those things. Psychics, mediums, Ouija, sorcerers, charmers. These are things that are abominations to God. It says right there. You know? It says, then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers, astrology, and I told them the dream. But they could not make known to me its interpretation. Why? That's Daniel 4:7. It says they couldn't make clear the dream. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Why? Because their power wasn't genuine. It's not of God. The only real power is God's power. The enchanters, the sorcerers, the horoscopes, it may have some degree of truth, but it ain't the truth.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I mean, I don't even think, I think whether it's astrology, whether it's sorcery, yoga, Halloween, which is this week, I think hopefully now, because we don't even, we want to get in and out, you know? I mean, unless you guys find some things that we missed out on or, you know, but I mean, the word is the word. The word, we gave you straight Bible. We gave you scriptures, and hopefully you guys are blessed and see the importance of this stuff from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective. You know, what if it's about the universe, if it's about the spirits, plural, then it ain't of God. Astrology, sorcery, psychics,
witchcraft,
Halloween, demons, witches, zombies, the walking dead, vampires, goblins, ghouls, like all this stuff that society says is cool, it ain't cool to God. I mean, Osho, man, did we miss anything? Do we need to go over anything else?
I think that pretty much covers it. Again, just seeking information outside of God, and that's, it's not dealing with the Word of God or not consulting God, but rather consulting something else and putting trust in something else, whether it be the stars or whether it be, whatever else, meditation, whatever. So I think that pretty much covers it.
Let me ask you a question real quick, just because I know some people right now are thinking, like, wow, the reason why a lot of people tune in, because I know I've been doing this for a long time. This is our 10th year on the air. I mean, I know how stuff tends to go. Usually, when we do shows like this, people tend to tune in live and check out the archives and things like that because they can relate on some level. You know, this isn't just entertainment. This isn't just, let's just happen to listen to the Data on Tolbert Show. I just catch it in my car. Now, you don't catch the show. You listen to this show because you want to know something. You want to hear something. You want to get clarity on something. And so the people listening are listening because they've done yoga before. They read horoscopes, and they didn't necessarily see the big deal. They do allow their kids to dress up in Halloween. You know, if they've done these things in the past, and I know we touched on it, but just right now, the people listening who, for that exact reason, because they do it or have done it, tell them what they can do. Maybe they want to give their life to Christ right now. You know what I'm saying? Let them know what they need to do, what they need to say, what they need to believe.
Sure. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So that's first and foremost for anybody listening. If you just confess, Lord, I'm sorry, I did something wrong, I didn't know, or I'm sorry I did it, God will forgive you and you're forgiven. The other thing is that it says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you're not in relationship, you're not saved, then you just need to understand, understand and make that confession. Lord, I do believe in you. Jesus, I believe that you're Lord. I believe that you died for me. I believe that, you rose from the grave, that you were dead, you were crucified, you died, and you got up from the grave for me, and that you're alive and living, and that you're in heaven, as the Bible says, at the right hand of the Father, God the Father. And I want to have a relationship with you. I believe you as Lord of my life. Become master over my life. When you do that, when you make that confession and you put your trust, again, you put your faith and your hope in God and not in something else, then God's got you. You are saved. And just as it says, I read that scripture 29:11, Jeremiah, of the book of Jeremiah, God does know his thoughts towards you. God knows the beginning from the end. He is both Alpha, the Bible says, the beginning, and Omega, the end, and he is omniscient. God is the only being that is omniscient. He's the only one that knows everything. So if you put your trust in God, if we believe in God and have faith and ask God for revelation or understanding of our situations and pray to him and believe in faith, then he will lead you. He will guide you, and God will reveal to you what he has for your life, his will, and what he wants you to do and the next step, you know, things that you need to do in your life. He'll make it clear. He'll make it plain. So I would just say that person, trust God. You know, God's got you. He's got it. He'll take care of you. Just believe in him and trust him and, you know, and have faith in him, and he will do it.
That's a blessing. And I was going to close this out real quick, but I'm looking here and I see someone listening and they have a question for us. And I want to read this question since I have you here from a spiritual perspective. It's about religion and, you know, the entertainment industry. Do you mind doing a quick Ask Dadon Advice question pertaining to this subject?
Sure, no problem.
If you don't mind, here's something. You guys can send any questions that you can, you know, get in contact with me. Anyway, info@trctoday.com, inbox me on Facebook, whatever, call into the show live. But this is someone, actually they posted this in the group, I believe. Someone says, I will be honest with you, I don't know much about this subject. When I study the Word of God, I study it to gain more knowledge of him and his ways. I also study his word and pray to strengthen the Holy Spirit in me so I can combat the enemy. Therefore, I leave this subject to you all. I do have a question. There are celebrities who are Christian and successful, like Matthew McConaughey. Lupe Fiasco is a devout Muslim, as is Consequence, who's had some minor success. There are also Christian artists who are very successful, such as Mary Mary, Byron Cage, and Lecrae. I guess my question is that are the artists named above selling their souls or sacrificing someone? I was told once, how can you sell your soul when you don't own it in the first place? Any thoughts on this? And I think this derived from our discussion from a few days ago on solstice sacrifices and selling your soul and things of that nature. But Osho, what advice would you give to this young brother?
I don't know about the artists that, you know, all that were mentioned or named necessarily, but I mean, I think it's possible to make a pact or a covenant with the enemy, in a sense, effect, where you are seeking to give your life to him, you know, to try to gain something. And I'm sure celebrities that have done that, to try to gain some wealth or some, you know, monetary, something status while you're here on earth, at the expense of your soul, or I'll say of your relationship with God. And I really think what they're selling out is more so their relationship, or trying or beginning to sell their relationship with God. And therefore, when you do that, well, the Bible clearly says, you know, it talks about if you are not saved, if you're, you know, your soul is, or you have not have a right relationship with God, then you're not going to go to heaven, then you're going to go to hell. So very much you would go to hell if you don't have a relationship, you know, or if you sold that relationship out with God for a relationship with the enemy. And so I believe that's what, you know, where that, you know, comes into play. Now, by the grace of God, if someone does make a covenant or a pact with the enemy, because God is all in control and powerful, if they repent and relent, and they may take, you know, and renounce those things, then they can get back or be, I believe, in relationship and right standing with God. It may not be an easy process, but the key is the enemy would have us, you know, to dupe us to think, as sort of as the person said as well, we have more control over some situation than we think we do. You know, but to understand that God, ultimately, when we put our faith and trust in him, no matter what we've done, you know, whatever the circumstances, say, Lord, and cry out to God that he can change the situation. Now, if we stay in the situation and we break relationship with God, hey, we just going to, you know, give this a covenant with the enemy, you know, well, then we can expect, you know, ultimately the end thereof to be where we would not be in heaven. We would be, therefore, our soul, the soul would be in hell. And so it's always important, especially in the entertainment industry, for people to be in prayer and to pray for people in the entertainment industry that say they're Christian, but also people otherwise, that they would come to know Christ, even if they say they're not, that they would come to know. And we always want to be praying for people, have love to pray for people. Lord, help them to break those covenants. Help them to break those relationships that are not of you. You know, and because God can do that if the people ask God to do it or ask for it to be done in the name of Jesus and are sincere, God can break those things. So we just need to continue to pray for those people that are, say they're Christian, to make sure they're not in those relationships and to pray that they'll be covered. And for those that are not, that they break those covenants of relationships so that they can ultimately be saved, you know, give their lives to God and, you know, repent. And as it says, 1 John 1:9, you confess He's faithful and just. That's how just God is, faithful if we are sincere to forgive us. Ultimately, God wants all souls to go to heaven. It's just a matter of people, you know, making a choice that that's where they want to go.
And that's a good take on it, because absolutely we are forgiven and we can renounce certain things, and we are can you know, go ahead and live right and live righteous in God's sight. One thing that I will say about this topic, about certain celebrities, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about celebrities in the entertainment industry as a whole, and really what God says about celebrities. See, celebrities, there's a reason why the Bible says that it's easier for to fit through the eye of a needle than it, or excuse me, a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And the reason is for that is because of the way the entertainment industry is set up, the world is set up, riches, fame, wealth. That's not for us as believers. We're not supposed to have those things. We're not supposed to aspire to have those things, because, you know, that's not what God...
It should be our
Christ
primary focus, yeah, not our primary, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, it shouldn't be our primary focus. The world determines who's a celebrity. If you're a celebrity, that means you're loved by the world. If you're loved by the world, the Bible says that makes you an enemy of God. Also, that's the whole point of being a celebrity. It means you have fans. You have millions of people. You're loved by the world. You're not supposed to have that. So, you know, I mean, what I would say about this, as far as some of these celebrities that were named here, Lupe Fiasco, Matthew McConaughey, you know, Mary, these are all people who are loved by the world. Mary, you know, I mean, I'll put it like this. The industry, the same people who signs Mary's checks are the same people who sign Beyonce's checks. Okay, the same people who signed Jay-Z's checks. You know, to be commercially successful, whether it's gospel, rap, hip-hop, country, it doesn't matter. You're going to be signed. You're going to have distribution deals. It's the same people signing the checks. It's the same record labels. They just have the gospel division. They have a country division, a hip-hop division, you know, R&B. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just the same people and their beliefs at the top of the totem pole, so to speak. So if, you know, whether you're Mary, you're Kirk Franklin, you're still going to have to do the same types of things, you know, put out the same imagery. That's why you see a lot of the images that we post in the group of Kirk Franklin, of Mary, Lecrae. You know, funny, Osho and I were just talking the other day, you know, via inbox. And it's funny, we were watching at the same time. We haven't even got a chance to talk about. But you saw Lecrae, who is one of the more popular gospel hip-hop artists, on Jimmy Fallon. Am I right?
Yeah, I did see him on there. I think we had talked about that a little bit. And I just want to say real quick, like, just with my take on it, whatever, I'm not saying, you know, one way or the other. I'm sure there are some that are part of and some that may not be. But I think you made a good point, Dan, about that system that they're in. It's like at work, you know, you work in not exactly, but we're in secular, you know. So whether it's the Christian music industry, quote unquote, or the regular music industry, a lot of the same people are somehow interconnected between those industries. So it makes it very difficult if you are a Christian, you know, to stay, you know, to really stay on the up and up. Not that I'm not saying no one can't, but it's definitely easier, like you said, than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Yep.
Right. One last thing that I'll say about that, and this is something interesting to share, since he mentioned Lupe Fiasco. If you guys are unfamiliar, he's a popular rapper, you know, from the Chicago area. And, you know, there's several, you can just Google Lupe Fiasco 666, just Google that, and you'll see multiple pictures of him just pop up, throwing up various images. And, you know, same as the rest of them. But interestingly enough, I was listening to an interview with him a couple years ago, actually, and he was just, you know, they were asking him about, you know, I know you have a new album coming out. you know, what can we expect from you from the future? He's like, you know, I'm not really feeling the music industry anymore. And he, you know, you can't say, but you can only say but so much. But he was saying that, you know, you guys are going to, you're not going to hear from me anymore, you know. And they're like, wow, are you retiring? He's like, well, no, I'm not really retiring. He's like, but as far as the way the industry is set up, he's like, I just can't, I don't want to be a part of it anymore on that level. He's like, so I'm still going to make music, but just not the way I've been making music. I'm going to withdraw from, quote unquote, the system. He's like, I'm just, you know, and you could tell what was on his mind. He's not trying to do that. He's like, so I'm just going to be independent. I'm not trying to make millions. I just want to make music. He said, I got into it for the love of music, but then it became something else. And he really went on and on and on about a lot of different things as far as the industry. And I would just, and so many different celebrities have, you know, discussed, made similar, done similar interviews. Lauryn Hill being, you know, one of them. You know, and,
yeah,
you know, without getting, yeah. So without getting too far off topic tonight, I would just encourage you all at the end of the day to just make sure your relationship with God is great. Whether it's music, you listen to the TV shows, you watch the movies, you go see the physical activities you do, yoga, like all that, horoscopes. Just make sure, you know, it's you're biblically on the same page, you know, with God, and everything else will fall into play. Osha, did you want to close this out? Or real quick, before you close out and pray, people really love when you do that for us. But real quick, I'll just encourage everybody, if you're seeking counseling, Osha, myself, Courtney as well, can all be contacted at 855-55-DATON, info@trctoday.com. You know, reach out. This is a very busy time for us typically, as far as counseling goes. You know, the holidays are, you know, can be a pretty tough time if you're seeking love or going through a family issue or relationship issue, things like that. So we're here for you if you need us. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Wednesday night, make sure you're tuning in. We're back live with Beauty Shop Talk Wednesdays. Courtney will be leading that, as well as four different women panelists to be discussing image, you know, beauty and image, and you know, what God says about image, and what you guys as women can do to maintain high self-esteem surrounding image, you know, image issues or challenges you may face. So it's going to be a really good discussion on that. As I mentioned last week, go out if you haven't already. Please see the movie Addicted, not because, you know, from an entertainment perspective, but see it because we're going to be discussing it and discussing sexual addiction as well as other forms of addiction from a biblical perspective, but using that film, using the book to illustrate the type of family issues that various forms of addiction can take. So we're going to be discussing that, and you know, a little bit later in the week. And I just want to take a minute to thank Osha for being here. I know his time is valuable, but we're going to continue doing these shows. Look out for our next special on Left Behind. You know, I know a guy posted in the group that he's watching the trilogy. I have it. You know, it's out there. You know, get it, watch it. You know, at least watch the first one if you've never seen it. And if you get time, go check out the remake so you can just kind of see the ridiculous contrast between the two, man. So, but Osha, man, any last things you wanted to say, or just, if not, man, just close us out and pray, and we'll talk to y'all later.
One other thing, last thing I just wanted to say, Dayton, the people that I prayed for, or not even prayed for, but said, you gave the scripture, you know, about confessing your sins, 1 John 1:9, about Romans 2:9, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, believing God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's another scripture, Romans 12:2, that says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I just want to share, you know, with everyone as well, that I gave those scriptures, that scripture, to understand once you do those things, then don't be conformed to the things of the world that we talked about, all these things, astrology, yoga, those things that are of the world, but transform yourself by the renewing of your mind, which comes by reading the Word of God. And if you don't understand, ask God to give you understanding. Lord, help me to understand your word. And praying and asking God, you know, and having relationship and fellowship with God, talking to him. And that's how you get back on the right track. Amen. And I just want to share that part. And I'll just go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you so much. We bless you and glorify and magnify your name. We thank you. God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for this evening. I'm just so thankful to be on this phone, on this show, with Dayton, and just be able to talk to the people and just tell them about some things in your word and about some truths and about some things you want them to know so that they can have a greater relationship with you and, you know, greater understanding of who you are. So, God, I'm just so thankful for that. I pray you bless each and every person under the sound of my voice that listens to the show or ever will listen to it, and that they be that your favor be upon their lives, that they have a deeper, greater relationship with you. I pray through listening to the show that their relationship right now will go to the next level. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ in you right now. And I pray, God, that they will put away some of the things that we talked about and that, Lord God, that will help also to bring them closer to you. So, God, I just pray, Lord God, for your people, for everyone listening. Once again, just bless them, God, abundantly as only you can. And I pray that your countenance shine upon them and your favor and that your love be in their hearts and that they begin to understand that God is love and what great love that you are. And that they receive that and receive your joy and that they're strengthened by it. Lord, we just thank you once again. We bless you, Lord. I pray you cover each and every person's mind, heart, body, and soul and spirit with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason we do that is because it was shed for our sins by Jesus' blood. That's how we're allowed access into heaven. So I pray you cover everyone with that because the devil has no power against that. And, Lord, we thank you and we bless you once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening, guys. See you.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the sweetest
name I know. I love the name.
Come on and lift your hands and say it with me.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like.